Jesus' name this morning. Thank you, each one, for your part this morning. And just felt it's some of the thoughts were shared this morning were in some ways going down the similar path I felt led to share here this morning as well. I trust we can continue to grow, continue to be inspired, continue to press on in our Christian walk. First passage, turn with me to Matthew 16. Message title is Christian Discipleship. And what do we mean when we refer to discipleship? And why I called it Christian discipleship, because if you observe the world around us, they don't call it discipleship, but it's essentially what it is. So there's a difference between the world methods of following or being a disciple. So as Christians, who are we following? Who am I a disciple of? Matthew 16, verse 24, says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Verse 24 and 25 are the main focal verses. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to follow me, there are requirements. When we talk about a disciple, he actually addressed his disciples. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, what is a disciple? A dictionary definition of a disciple is a follower, adherent to the doctrines of another. So another way we could say a disciple is someone who adheres completely to the teachings of another, making them his rule of life and conduct. So a follower or a disciple. A disciple of Jesus is one that adheres to his teachings, and one that patterns his life after. And we'll look in that a little more later. Mark 8, you can turn with me there. Again, parallel verses out of Mark 8, verse 34. "And when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. There again, Jesus, verse 34, it was more than just his disciples with him. There was a crowd of people around him at that moment. And he said unto them, if you're going to come after me, there are things that are required to be a disciple. And then Luke 9, Luke's parallel verses as well. Luke 9, verse 23 through 27, starting verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there shall some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. We'll stop reading there. Again, Jesus' appeal, Jesus' call. Just prior to Luke 9, or there. We back up the more of the beginning verses in Luke 9. It's right after the feeding of the 5,000. Yeah, it was just the disciples. I wasn't sure if the 5,000 were around or not, but the disciples were definitely there. And again, he emphasized this again, if you're going to follow me, they were already following him, but if he will come after me, if you're going to pattern your life after me, there are things we need to do. As I mentioned, we don't use the word, or at least in the world's context, they don't use the word disciple, but the word follower or follow or following, that's very common with social media and the influence there. It's about follows or following, or if someone aspires to be an influencer on social media, they need followers. And there's ways things they do to generate a following. And the more followers they can get, the more popular, the more influential they can be. But that's not what Jesus was aiming here this morning. Jesus was not out to be popular. Yes, he desires that all men would follow him. But there are requirements that Jesus, I feel, clearly laid out here to his disciples at the time, and it still applies to us as disciples today. This morning, everyone follows something. Whether it be friends, culture, family, our own selfish desires, or God, you're following something. or someone? Who are you following? What are you following? And as I mentioned, part of the definition of disciple is making his life, making the one he's following, they makes those teachings his rule of life and conduct. So this morning, what is your rule of life and conduct? What's shaping that? Who are you a disciple of? This morning, if we're going to be a true disciple or follower of Jesus, there are requirements Jesus gave to us. I like to look at that. First one is deny himself and take up his cross. So I had to put those two together. In some ways, you could look at it as three aspects, but I struggled to kind of, you say, in a way, separate those. So I'm just going to look at those together. First one is deny himself and take up his cross. What was Jesus saying? What do we mean today? How do we live this out today? Well, Jesus said you need to deny himself. What does that mean? What does it mean to take up my cross? By nature, by default, we are self-centered individuals. It's all about me. It's all about my desires. It's all about how I want to live my life and the comforts. And it's just a me-centered view of life. That's default. It doesn't take long. Those of parents who relate to little children, it doesn't take long till you see that expressed at a young age. It's you say it's part of our Adamic nature. It's about me. But Jesus says if you're going to follow him, we need to deny ourselves. Take up our cross. Another term we use here, or teaching we get out of these verses, is what we call self-denial. And self-denial means a restraint or limitation of one's own desires or interests. So we have to restrain or limit our own selfishness. And the aspect to take up our cross, the multitude and even Jesus' disciples that Jesus was addressing, they were well aware of this expression. Because as you recall, the Roman Empire ruled over Israel. Israel was subject to Roman rule. And Rome would use crucifixion as a way of executing criminals. And that is how Jesus died, on a cross. So in the context here, people knew when Jesus said take up a cross, they've seen that what it meant for one to take up a cross. And under Roman rule, before a man died on a cross, he was forced to carry his cross to his place of execution. This showed his submission to Rome and warned observers that they better submit too. No one carried the cross for fun. If someone took up the cross, If a criminal was sentenced to die, execution, and he took up that cross, he never came back. It was a one-way journey. So when Jesus said, take up your cross, the context of that was that's what it was going through their minds. It wasn't anything, let's say, anything light. This denying ourselves and taking up our cross today is what's required of us. Just as the criminal was in total submission, it had to be, was under subject to that Roman authority, Jesus wants his followers to be in total submission and commitment to him. We may not die physically, but we must die carnally, or to our carnal selfish desires. Luke 9:23, as I read, there's a word that stood out to me, and maybe it was in the other gospel, but this gospel particular stood out to me, and that is the word daily. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. This choice, this disciple of Jesus, it's a daily choice that you and I have to make. Denying and dying to self is a daily choice. And it's a choice only I can make for my own life. No, nobody else can make that choice. The same is true for your life. You are the one that is solely responsible for that choice. Are you going to deny yourself, take up the cross? Each day we make choices. And where are those choices taking us? It'll either be a focus on myself, my little earthly kingdom, if you will, or it's going to be denying myself and making choices for the greater good of God's kingdom. Allow God to work through us to build his kingdom. This choice is only within the power of each individual. We can teach about it. I can stand here and preach about it, but I can't make that choice for you. It is a choice each one has to make. This act of denying ourselves, the opposite of self-denial is self kind of mentioned that, but it's self-indulgence or self-interest. And self-indulgence invariably leads to corruption of self and others. Romans 8:13, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if you die, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. And mortify, again, has the idea of denying or crucifying, taking up your cross, denying those things we would strive after. Colossians 3:5-7, mortify, or again, deny, crucify. Therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time, then ye lived in them. So when we allow the desires, the lusts of the flesh, our selfish will to rule, it's through those avenues that Satan accomplishes our ruin. Through following after the lusts of the flesh, men have become slaves to every form of sin. Those with another way of, if we're not going to deny ourselves, if we're going to just simply follow our selfish nature, we then become slaves of sin. It's basically it comes back to self. Sin's, you say, root or cause is because of selfishness. Taking up our cross is the only way through which victorious life becomes possible. Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. And 1 Peter 4:1, yet, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Or he that denied himself and took up his cross ceases from sin. And I believe one of the reasons Jesus, this word daily, is because we are in a spiritual battle. It's a daily battle between right and wrong, between self and God. And we cannot follow both at the same time. Probably all have heard it, but it's, there's this mindset, this thinking, whatever term you want to use, of I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but let me live my life. Or another common expression of it's me and God. And when you start analyzing those and they say digging into those, that theory, it's to leave room for self. It's to leave, you say, a way that they don't have to totally follow the scriptures. It really comes back to selfishness. And selfishness rules because we do not bring ourselves into subjection. We don't deny ourselves. We must bring our will into submission to God and the brotherhood. When we take up our cross and follow Jesus, we are taking our flesh or our self-interest, our self-will, to the place of execution. As I mentioned, when a criminal was carried his cross to the place of execution, he was then executed, was put to death. The same concept applies in our carnal or spiritual. We need to take our carnal desires to the place of execution. We crucify the flesh and put off the old man and put on the new man. Ephesians, I'm not going to take the time to turn to those verses, but Ephesians 4:22-24 talks about that, and also Colossians 3:9-10 of crucifying the flesh, crucifying the old man, and again taking on the new man. So, morning, I believe the secret of the victorious life is keeping every desire of the flesh in its God-given place. Second one I want to look at briefly is, and follow me. Follow me. Jesus said, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. To truly follow Christ means he has become everything to us. And we do not follow anything else. As I mentioned, we're following something or someone. And we can only follow one thing at a time. The terms disciple and Christian are related but not synonymous. This morning we say we're a Christian, but are you a disciple? Are you a Christian disciple? I believe it's possible to follow Jesus, and you observe, you can read the Bible, you can somewhat, I'm going to say follow Jesus to an extent, but that does not mean, if we have not denied ourselves, if we have not put our selfish interest, crucified them, brought them under subjection, we can't be a true disciple. Discipleship requires a totally committed life. Turn with me to John 6. Yeah. John 6, I'm going to jump in at verse 60, and then I'm going to just read to the end of the chapter. But John 6, verse 60, many thereof, his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying, who can hear it?" And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he asked them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up when he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, and that believed not, and who shall betray him. He said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man could come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Backing up to verse 60, Jesus had a following. He addressed to a crowd. There was many disciples. There was many people that had followed him, and. Chapter 6 here, he was teaching that he is the bread of heaven, and the Jews murmured at that, like, how's this possible? And basically said, you need to partake of me. And if you're going to follow me, he that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. That's verse 56. And they in some ways, maybe didn't totally understand it, but the same ways, this word is an hard saying. Um, kind of comes with the meaning of offensive. They were offended by it. Because simply Jesus said, this is, if you're going to follow me, this is what needs to happen. Or this is how, what you need to do. And many people turned back because of that. Jesus did not soften the truth to keep disciples, to keep a following. And the truth is that following him leads to difficult choices. Jesus spoke the truth and people had to make choices. And some of they felt it was too hard. It was too difficult. Or they were offended at what they would have had to change. This morning, following Christ does not mean a trouble-free life. So often, it's very easy to make a shallow commitment that, yes, we want to follow Jesus and only expect the good things. But the Christian life is more than that. Christian discipleship is more than just saying, I'll see what blessings I can get. Some of the reason this crowd, these disciples, verse 66, from that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, I believe some of that happened is because they were not willing to deny themselves, take up the cross, and do what Jesus taught in order to live a life for him. This morning, we can observe that. Today, it still happens. People say they'll follow Jesus. But when the rubber meets the road, if you will, or things get difficult, or there's trials that come their way they didn't think should, they turn back. This morning, Jesus wants more than superficial lip service. Real discipleship implies real commitment. Following Jesus means striving to be like him. Are you going to pattern your life after Jesus? The disciple of Jesus needs to be set apart from the world. We need to put off self-centeredness and put on Christ-centeredness. We deny our flesh, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. We put on Christ-centeredness. I don't want to speak with too broad of a brush, but I wonder some of the issues. Let me say the church faces, relationship issues. Like I said, I don't want to be too broad, but I wonder sometimes how many of those would say be resolved if Christians were disciples of Jesus, if they denied themselves and took up their cross and focused on Christ instead of how I want to live my life. How many of our struggles in the church, in the relationships, would go away? To follow Christ means to take Jesus, Lord of our life. Being a true disciple is to yield your life in obedience to God and his word. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. John 14, 23 and 24, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and to make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. The word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So whose life are you patterning after? Who are you following? Who are you obeying? Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we call it. Are you patterning your life after that? I believe if that's our rule of conduct or ethics, how we go about living life and those practically putting those teachings to work. The fruit our lives produce gives evidence whose disciple we are. To follow Christ means we apply the truths we learn from his word and live as if Jesus walked beside us in person. This morning, when we surrender our life, surrender our will daily, choose to follow Christ, God will give us the grace and strength to carry our cross, and his Spirit working in our lives will guide and empower us to live a life of Christian discipleship. This morning, it costs something to be the disciple of Jesus, but it costs more to reject him. Let's kneel for prayer.